Well, get your Bible out and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read a couple verses there. I want to talk to you today about some spiritual disciplines. With the coming of the new year, it's a new season, it's a new time, it's a fresh start, and we have a whole year ahead of us. And at the end of this year, if you want to look back on this year and say that year was better than the year before, it's going to take some things, and I believe it's going to take discipline. Not just discipline in the natural, but there has to be a spiritual discipline that we put on our lives in order to get the desired results that we want in our lives. Now, we don't like discipline. A lot of times we hear a word like discipline and we shy away from it. We say, no, that's not for me. I don't like it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to endure the pain. I don't want to go through the process. I would much rather do my own thing, sit on the couch, eat some potato chips, and just still get blessed. But that's not going to work. That's not going to make it in our lives. And God says he wants us to be disciplined in our walk with him. He wants us to be disciplined in our lives. So we're going to take a look at some areas today that I believe as you give attention, give interest to them, that you're going to find that there's a tremendous blessing that awaits you in this year. And at the end of this year, if you will stick to these disciplines, you'll look back and you'll say, wow, this year was better than the year before, and next year is going to be even better. Now, most of what you're going to hear today, you will have heard before in more depth from better preachers than myself. That's not the issue. This message today is intended to encourage you and remind you of some things that you may already know, maybe you don't know. But these are some things that God expects from our life. I like how Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter number 1. He said, I think it's right for me to refresh your memory about some things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth that you now had. So he said, you guys already know this stuff, but I'm going to bring it up again for a purpose and for a reason. The reason why is because we all need to be reminded. We can all get casual about our walk. We can all get, you know, kind of apathetic. We can get into that lethargy. We can get into that groove where, you know, we've got our thing down. We go to church. We go to a certain service. We sit in a certain spot. We listen. We open the Word. We have our daily routines and those things that we go through. And mindlessly, a lot of times, we can go through a process without ever tapping into the power of God or into disciplining ourselves to do what it is that God has called us to do. And then we wonder why we aren't blessed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's okay to respond today. I'll just let you know that right up front. My desire that when you leave today, you would be able to say, I know I heard the voice of God for my life. Maybe God speaks something new to you, something that you hadn't seen before. Maybe God reminds you of some things today. But my desire is that you walk out of this place and you say, God spoke to me. I know what to do, and I'm going to get out there and get busy on it. That's my heart. That's my desire. Not to preach the greatest message you ever heard. That's not the point today. The point today is for you to hear the voice of God and then respond accordingly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to take a look at verse number 3 all the way through verse number 6. Let's take a look at it together. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse number 3, it says this. It says, you. Everybody say you. Who's that talking to? That was weak response. I just got to be honest with you, all right? I'm going to need a little bit more involvement at that. Everybody say you. Come on, everybody say you. Who's that talking to? That's talking to me, right? When you read the Word, it's not just Paul writing to Timothy. It's not just somebody writing to a church. This is God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you today. So when you read that, it says you. That's me. Take it personally. This is what God wants you to do. It says you, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse number 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse number 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Finally, verse number 6 comes along and says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Now, maybe you're a little confused at this point. You're saying, Pastor Dan, you just started talking to me about discipline, started talking to me about living my life during this year and having a good year. And now all of a sudden we're talking about soldiers, we're talking about athletes, and we're talking about farmers. How on earth does that apply to what we're talking about today? Well, let me tell you something. Oftentimes in the Word of God, you will find that God uses natural examples in our physical realm in order to show us spiritual principles that we can apply to our life. So today, as we look at those three types of individuals that all of us know about, all of us have come in contact with or have been at one point or another in our life, as we take a look at soldiers and athletes and farmers, we can take a look at those individuals and we can find out what they're doing in their lives that we can understand spiritually what we need to do in our lives. Can you say amen? So today, we're going to take a look at some areas to discipline ourselves. A couple of quick areas. Now, we could have talked about a lot of stuff today as far as areas to discipline ourselves. We could have talked about our faith walk. We could have talked about our prayer life. We could have talked about fasting. There's a lot of areas spiritually that we could look at our lives and we could say, you know what? That's a discipline. That's something that I need to stay after. That's something that I need to do. That's something that I need to get into my life. I need to get it into and break up my routines and get involved in this thing. And I need to spiritually discipline myself in this area. Lots of areas that we could talk about today, but I believe that there are three specific areas as we look at these three individuals that God is going to draw an understanding for our lives and see how we should live. So today, the first one we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3 and verse number 4, when we're looking at areas to discipline ourselves. The first one, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse number 4 comes along and says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Now, before I tell you what the discipline is, I want to just think about some thoughts real quick. We're talking about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. If you look at soldiers in the natural, soldiers in the natural weren't always soldiers. They weren't born and bred that way. Here in the United States, people are enlisted into the army or into some branch of the military, and all of a sudden they become what is called GI. Maybe you heard the term GI Joe. Maybe you watched the movie or you played with the toys as a kid or your kids are playing with the toys right now. In any event, what does GI mean? It means government issue. When you sign up, when you're enlisted in the army or in some branch of the military, they give you government-issued shoes, government-issued pants, government-issued shirts, government-issued coats, government-issued body armor, government-issued weapons, government-issued vehicles, government-issued place to lay your head at night. Everything becomes government-issued. You are now no longer your own. You are a part of the United States government. You are now a GI. You are government-issued. In the same way in the spiritual, when you enlist in the army of God, when you are born again, and now the old person, that old civilian that used to do whatever they want, whenever they wanted to, now that person is gone, and now you become GI, you become God issued. Now God is the one who supplies your needs. God is the one who is your father. God is the one who gives you direction. God is the one who gives you everything for life and godliness. Now you are God's. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. And just as we saw the illustration of the natural soldier that does not get entangled with the affairs of this life, but endures hardship for a purpose. Why? So that he can please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We find that we, as Christians, if we are going to find an area of discipline as a soldier of Jesus Christ, we are supposed to deny the flesh. First area that we're going to take a look at today is denying the flesh. If we're going to please God, we must endure hardship. There is a war that is going on in your members. The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. There is a battle that is continually going on. Anybody who's ever tried to go on a diet or tried to start an exercise program knows exactly what I'm talking about right now. Why? Because the moment you tell yourself, "I'm not gonna eat anymore," your body cries out and screams out, "I need that. I want that. Just a little bit more won't hurt. Go for it." Moment you try and wake up early, of course, you're going to have a horrible night's sleep, and then getting up early is going to be tough, and you'll say, "I'll just get up early tomorrow." The moment you try and work out, there will be every excuse in the world not to go and work out. Can anybody give me a witness and say amen? See, all of us know about this. All of us know that it's hard to deny ourselves. We would much rather do what pleases the flesh because the flesh is continually crying out, and we've been so conditioned to go after what pleases our flesh. But now, you're no longer your own. You're no longer that civilian. You no longer have those rights and privileges. Now you have become God-issued. You've been bought with a price, and now you take your direction from God. You are trying to please the one who enlisted you, and his name is Jesus Christ. You're following your commanding officer. And therefore, if you're going to please him, you must deny the flesh. You're in the middle of a war. As if the flesh wasn't enough, you've got the devil and all of his angels, all of the demonic forces and satanic principles and powers of the air that are coming against you too. So therefore, in order for you to please God, you have to deny the flesh. I heard a story of a soldier one time that was in Germany, World War II, fighting, and he was in one of the foxholes there, and the Germans were on one side, the Americans were on the other side. And here's this GI sitting in this foxhole, and he's got a cigarette, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he's covering it up with his hand so that no one will know that he's smoking a cigarette. There he is smoking the cigarette, kind of just on his own, off of, just puffing away. And his commanding sergeant comes by and is walking by, and as he walks by, he notices this guy is smoking a cigarette. He pulls out his gun, points it at his head, and he says, "Soldier, put that out right now." And he says, "Sarge, be quiet. You're going to give away our position." He says, "No, you're going to give away our position, because that little light on the end of that cigarette is going to be much more noticeable hundreds of yards away than my voice. Therefore, put it out now, or I'll put you out." And so he puts it out quickly. Why? Because he was pleasing his flesh. And in pleasing his flesh, warming himself up, relaxing, doing what he wanted to do, he was putting not only himself, but the whole army in danger. You and I, we cannot just go do whatever we want to do, whenever we want to do it. A lot of times I know of Christians that because they are undisciplined in this area of denying the flesh, they end up back in the clubs, back in the bars, back in someone's bed, back with the people that they used to run with, doing the things that they used to do. That ought not be so in the church, because now we take a new set of orders. We discipline ourselves spiritually and we deny the flesh in order to please God, and therefore we don't get entangled with the affairs of this world. I think about our soldiers over there in Iraq and Afghanistan on the front lines. Think about if you had a soldier, full body armor, he's got his weapon, he's in a tank, sitting there, and while he's supposed to be guarding over the things that he's supposed to be guarding, he pulls out his phone and starts checking the stocks. Now, would you want that guy guarding you? No, you wouldn't. Why? Because he's entangled in the affairs of this life rather than doing what he's been called to do. Listen, God has a calling on your life. God has a destiny for you. You may have thought that you decided just to come and become a Christian, or you might have thought that you got here by accident, but the reality is that God knew who you were, knew you would be in this time, in this place, and God has called you to be a part of his army. God has a calling and a purpose and a plan for your life, and therefore he is asking of us not to get entangled with the affairs of this world, but to follow after him, take up our cross, and deny the flesh. I found a cool verse in Titus chapter number 2, and you can turn there if you want, but I'm going to put it up on the overheads in the New International Version. And I thought it was cool the way that it said it in the New International Version. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 and verse number 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. And the New International Version says this. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." So what is that saying? It's saying that the grace of God, the ability of God, the power of God on our behalf when we can't do it has appeared that offers salvation. There's that enlisting. When you get saved, when you get born again, now you are enlisted into the army of God. Now look at this. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Now, get ready to participate, okay, because I need you to do some things. Take a look up on the overhead for a second. It teaches us, the grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. What does that mean? That means when the lust of the flesh comes up, those desires that are warring against your soul, that the grace of God is the ability of God that teaches us to do something. We partner up with the Spirit of God and we do something. We say no. Now I need everybody in the room to say no. That was weak. You got to say it like you mean it. Say no.
No.
Say it like the flesh is rising up.
No.
Say it like the devil's in your face.
No.
Now put a little San Bernardino on it. Say no.
No.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about right there. See, when the war comes up, when your flesh starts to cry out, when it says, "I need to eat, I need to drink, I need to touch, I need to taste, I need to go for it, I need to be there, I need to do this," you rise up. And the greater one on the inside of you, the grace of God rises up and you say authoritatively, "No, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm not drinking that. I'm not smoking that. I won't accompany myself with that. I'm not jumping in." So that the next time you get a phone call and somebody wants to gossip, you just say, "No." Click. Next time that people are over at the coffee pot and they want to talk bad about the boss and they say, "Did you hear?" And you just say, "No." And you walk back and you do the best work you possibly can. Next time somebody says, "Hey, we're going down to the club. We're going to run with the old crew." You say, "No, I got a new crew." You see, it's You say, Pastor, it's not that easy. No, it's not. It takes discipline to deny the flesh. But the grace of God, the ability of God, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Why? And to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly life in this present age. God and His grace, His ability on the inside of you, teaches us and empowers us to say no and to live the kind of life that God has called us to as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. So, spiritual disciplines, areas to discipline ourselves. Number one is in denying the flesh. Second area to discipline ourselves, go back with me to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, if you're not already there. And we're going to take a look at verse number 5 and find the second area to discipline ourselves. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5, areas to discipline ourselves, says this. It says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So we find out that if anybody competes in athletics, now we know sports figures, we know about games, we know about the physical athletes. If you study out the Olympians and what sort of training and rigorous self-discipline they go through in order to just have one opportunity every 4 years to compete in athletics, to go and play the game, to do their best that they can possibly do. These people are rigid, they are chiseled, they rise up at a certain hour, they lay down at a certain hour, they deny themselves food that they would normally want to have. Why? So that they can do the best job that they can possibly do. You and I are called as people who are competing in a game. We are in the game of life, if you will. Now that we know that this is not a game, we're in a war. But if we're going to compete in athletics and if we are striving for a crown, as the Bible says, we're all running a race. And if you want to win that crown, if you want to see the reward, if you want to win, then you have to do something. Look at what it says. It says, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now think about this for a second. How many of you have ever been playing a game, playing baseball, football, basketball, something like that, soccer, whatever your game of choice is, even if it's billiards or something like that? You're playing a game, you're playing with somebody else, and while you're playing the game, you're having a great time, everybody's having fun, and then all of a sudden somebody starts cheating. Just ruined the game right there, didn't it? Why? Because they're not playing according to the rules. How about this one? You're playing the game, and somebody doesn't know the rules. And so as you're playing, they start just doing whatever they want to do. And you're like, wait a second. Wait, you can't do that. That's not how the game is played. And if they were ignorant of it and they say, well, that's how I'm going to play the game. And they keep doing what they were doing. It just ruined the whole game for you once again, right? Anybody else experience that other than myself? Okay, three of you. That's cool. Rest of you all, I wonder. I'm just kidding. But it ruins the game. In the same way, God has called us to live life according to the rules. See, God has given us the manual for life. God has given us the instruction book. God has given us the rule book, if you will. You say, Pastor Dan, you're just saying that Christianity is a bunch of rules and regulations and things like that? Absolutely not. God wants us to live in a freedom. God wants us to live a life that is so desirable, so blessed, so much fun. God is not opposed to us having fun. That's why we can sing and dance and jump in the house of God. That's why we can laugh in the house of God. But God still gives us rules for living. And the reason why is because when you don't play by the rules, it's no fun. Hello. When you don't do what God has asked you to do, there's no blessing, there's no crown, as we saw. Unless they're not going to be crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You see, God has placed the rules in our life. God has placed the book, the handbook in our life so that we can get the desired results. You all know you want to be blessed. You all know that at the end of your life, you want to go to heaven and receive a crown and a blessing. And God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because you competed according to the rules and you weren't disqualified. We know many of our heroes in the natural, many sports figures have ruined the game and shamed our nation. Why? Because they were on steroids, they cheated, they did things they weren't supposed to be doing. They didn't compete according to the rules. In the same way as Christians, we need to discipline ourselves to know God's word, to get into the word of God, to read God's word. And that's the second area of discipline that we're talking about today, is reading God's word. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, you're there in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, if you take a look at verse number 14, we're going to read down through verse number 17, talking about reading God's word, getting into the instruction book. finding out what it is that God would have us to do with our lives, playing the game right, and receiving a crown at the end. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14, down through verse number 17 says this. It says, but you, everybody say you. Who's that talking to?
Me.
That's right. It's talking to us today. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. What does that mean? That means keep playing by the rules. He says, knowing from whom you have learned them. See, Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, Timothy, you know that your mom and your grandma taught you the word of God and you see the outcome of their life. You know that I, Timothy, have taught you the word of God and you see the outcome of my life. Therefore, you know the word of God. Continue in those things, knowing from whom you have learned them. Look at verse number 15. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. See, there are some people who know the rules of games so well that they will play the game masterfully, skillfully. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to live a life that we are wise for salvation. He wants us to be masterful Christians. He wants us to be skillful Christians, toned and buff and cut and all that kind of stuff. God wants us to be lean, mean, fighting machines that at the end of our life, we get the crown. Now take a look at verse 16. It says this. It says, all scripture, everybody say all. Does that mean some? No. Does that mean half? No. Does that mean the verses that you like and that fit with your thinking? No. All scripture, even the stuff that maybe you don't like, even the stuff you don't understand, even the rules that you don't want to do, all scripture, look at this, is given by inspiration of God. Or in other words, it's God-breathed. God has spoken this word. Look at this, and is profitable. This is a benefit to your life. The rules aren't there to hold you down or hold you back. They're there to profit you. They're there to bless you. They're there to benefit you. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That is our systems of belief, our teaching structures, for reproof or rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. See, this is the instruction manual on how to live God's way. For instruction in righteousness. Now look at verse number 17. That the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has a plan for your life. God has a way for you to play the game. God wants you to reach your destination and reach that blessing, reach that crown, but you got to play according to the rules. Now take a look at this up on the overheads. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to put up verse number 16 and verse number 17 in the Message paraphrase, okay? Look at this. It says this, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 in the Message. It says, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. What do athletes do? They train, right? So the word of God will train us to live God's way. Now look at this. Look at this last sentence. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. God wants to get you in shape. God wants to get you in a place where you are built up, you are trained up, put together, and now you are in shape to play the game according to the rules. I was studying Olympic sharpshooters. Did you know they had Olympic sharpshooter? I didn't know that. I thought that's really cool. These guys are amazing. They can shoot a bullet across water, skip it off the water, and hit a bullseye on the other side. That's pretty amazing. I started studying out their life and what they have to do to train for that. And I found out that these guys have to have a specific diet. They have to do specific exercises for this. They will run, but they won't run too much. The reason why they do that, and then they have to go to bed at a certain time and wake up, they can only get a certain number of hours of sleep. And one other thing that I failed to mention the last couple of services, so you guys are getting the goods on this, they will not eat 24 hours before they go into their shooting. Okay, so they won't have anything in their stomach, and they only exercise to a certain point, but not too much, because they want their heart rate to be at one beat per second. So that every time it beats, boom, 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 they can time their breathing, and they can time their shot to line up with their heartbeat, and they can't have a stomach with any food in it so that they will be not distracted from their purpose. Listen, if that's the sort of rigid training and exercise that a sharpshooter goes through for the Olympics, how much more, church, should we be in God's word, finding out the rules, finding out the way to live, and then receiving the crown on the other side of that? Amen. Areas to discipline ourselves. The first one we found was in denying the flesh. Second one is reading God's word. And the third area we find in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Turn that page back to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We're going to take a look at verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse number 6 says this. It says, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Now that word hardworking, I've highlighted up on the overheads for you. And hardworking really means this. It means to the point of exhaustion. That's what hardworking really means. We could say it like this. The disciplined, hardworking, to the point of exhaustion farmer must be the first to partake of the crops. Now there's good news in this verse, because attached to this discipline is also a promise. And that is that we are to be disciplined in the area of sowing good seed. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, why you got to bring up finances at the end of this message? Listen, this isn't just about finances. This is about your life. This is about what you do. You can sow good seed with your deeds, with your actions, with your words, with your interests, with what you do each and every day. You can sow good seed in lots of ways other than just giving your finances, even though that's one way to sow good seed. Everything that you do, you can think of as seeds. Whatever you plant, you are going to reap something later on from that. Now, the choice is yours. You can either sow good seeds or you can sow bad seeds. Let's take a look at it in Galatians chapter number 6. A very familiar verse when talking about sowing and reaping. Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter number 6. And in Galatians chapter number 6, we're going to take a look at verse number 7, and then we'll drop down in a minute to verse number 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says this. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever, everybody say whatever. Come on, play with me now. Say whatever. Say with a little attitude, whatever. Whatever. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That means that if you sow kindness, you're going to reap kindness. If you sow good words will be given back to you. You sow finances, you're going to reap finances. You sow generosity, you're going to reap generosity. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. If you sow gentleness or meekness, you're going to reap gentleness or meekness. But on the opposite side of that coin, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. You can sow discord and reap discord. You can sow frustration and reap frustration. You can sow unkind words and reap unkind words. You could cut somebody off on the freeway, and it's not going to be long before somebody cuts you off on the freeway. And if you wave the flag at them, somebody's going to wave the flag back. You know what I'm talking about. See, whatever it is that you sow, that you will also reap in your life. So it is a discipline for us to sow good seed. Because whatever really means whatever. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, here's the promise. Take a look at it with me. It says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. What does that mean? Just like the hardworking farmer who rises up early, when the rooster's crowing, he's already sowing. Hardworking farmer that stays up late, that takes care of his crops, that's watching out over his pastures, making sure that things are taking place, making sure the job gets done. When he lays his head on the pillow, he is entirely spent. What does that mean for us, church? That means that when you are sowing and when you are doing good, don't lose heart. Why? Because just like in the natural, there are seasons. Just like we can look outside, we can see it's cold and it's gray outside. Well, is it going to be like that in a month? No. Is it going to be like that in a couple of months? No. It's going to be what? Hot and dry. We know how to do hot and dry here in California. But we also know that when it rains, it's only going to rain for a short season. Whatever the trial is, whatever the problem is, whatever the pressure is, keep sowing good seed. You say, Pastor Dan, I've sown a lot of bad seed. That's okay. You're going to reap from that. But listen, you can start sowing good seed from this day on. And if you start now, don't grow weary while doing good. Why? Because in due season, you may be reaping bad stuff right now. You may be in the middle of a trial right now. You may be in the middle of problems and pressures and trials. You may be looking at your field and it's still brown. There's nothing sprouting up, but hang on, church, because there is a promise from God that says, in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. God is saying, keep going, church. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Know the rule book. Know the reasons why God wants you to do things. Know how to play the game, because there's a crown, there's a benefit, there's a blessing. And that is that whatever you sow, you shall also reap. Three things that we learned about today in spiritual disciplines. First one is in denying the flesh. Second area is in reading God's word. And the third area to discipline ourselves today is that we sow good seed. If you got something from the word of the Lord today, come on, give him a great big praise. Hallelujah. Amen.